Welcome to Women, Work, Wellbeing. I'm your host, Zoe Hayden-Jones. Each week, expect a blend of heartfelt conversations, expert advice, and actionable tips designed to support you in achieving your professional goals, finding harmony in your personal life, and cultivating wellbeing that resonates with who you truly are. This is more than a podcast. It's a community, a movement, and your personal catalyst for transformation. So welcome to another episode of Women, Work, Wellbeing. I am very excited to welcome this week's guests. I say it every week, but I am super duper excited because we're recording this special for International Women's Day for PwC. So welcome Robin Sutherland, who is a cybersecurity manager. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm super excited.
It's brilliant to have you. And we were just saying before we hit record that we kind of know each other a little bit through my husband, who is also at PwC. So it's great to finally meet you and to have a chat because we've got so much to talk about. You've had an incredible career and we're just going to dive right into it. So cybersecurity, wow. Yes. Talk to me about you and what you do and how you got into it.
So the job just now in cybersecurity at PwC is super diverse. You know, it's a funny question when someone says, what do you do? Because it changes all the time. Like what I'm doing now is completely different to what I'm doing when I started at PwC. So super exciting. But I guess it suits my personality. It's very, very diverse and keeps you on your toes. You're never bored. So I've been at PwC for 6 years now, which is crazy. I graduated in chemical engineering and at that time just graduated and like my dad passed away. He was going through a bit of a rough time and I thought, you know what, I need to get away. So I moved to Australia. Just I thought I'm just going to go and I moved over to Australia, started off doing, you know, different jobs. Rode horses at the time, so I worked at a show jumping yard for a couple of weeks earning peanuts, and I thought, right, no, this is ridiculous, I need to go and get a proper job. So out of my comfort zone, and that is when I met a guy called Peter Quigley, the most amazing mentor, and he had a cybersecurity company called 11M. So he actually was the ex-PwC cloud assurance leader in Glasgow. So I started working for him. It was his startup company. At the time, there was only a few guys. The team was about four people in the team. They were all sort of ex-PwC, super intelligent. So it was amazing for me because I got, you know, great exposure to senior leadership in that sort of really small period of time. And that's how I found cybersecurity. Very, very lucky.
That is a great story. Like there was so much to unpack in that. I need to go right back though. Chemical engineering. My mind sort of went, wow. Because I mean, in the work that we do at Jobs for Women, you know, we're championing, can never say that word. We're encouraging women and we know that we're getting more women into STEM, but it's a slow process. What made you choose chemical engineering? And well done.
Chemical engineering at the time, you know, I think it's hard for people when they're younger to choose what they want to do because how do you know when you're, you know, 15 years old? You just don't. And to be honest with you, I thought, you know, that sounds intelligent and there's sort of good money in it. And I really, you know, didn't actually enjoy it at uni. And I think, it's pretty hard to sort of choose what you're going to do. I was smart at sort of chemistry and I thought, right, let's just run with that. But then it's not always the right choice. But I think, you know, if you choose a degree that is transferable, the world's your oyster, you know. After you've completed the degree, you can completely, totally change direction. So there wasn't a strategic, real strategic reason to choose chemical engineering apart from it sounded smart.
Do you know, I love that. And we do a lot of work with our younger sort of following with schools, with colleges and unis. And I think that message is one that carries through, that yeah, you might not know what you want to do. I don't think I mean, so many people I speak to don't know, but I think you are testament to the fact that you can choose a degree, which is an incredible degree. I know you said you didn't enjoy it as much, but now you are working in this incredibly interesting, fast-paced, I guess, which we'll delve into this role, and you sort of flipped it on its head. And we talk a lot at Jobs for Women about career transitions, and there's a lot of women that perhaps did a degree, went into that area of work, and now it is thinking of like a career transition, which we are all about. Yes, do it. And I think there's a lot of women that would be amazing in cyber or tech or all these incredible roles.
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think when we have these conversations and I speak to incredibly inspiring women like you, it's kind of like, yeah, I can do that as well. I can
100%. Yep. And the team at the cyber team at PwC came from all different diverse backgrounds, you know. And when I went in with imposter syndrome, that I don't have a cyber security degree, I'm not qualified, but we've all came from different colorful backgrounds. So you know, honestly, if anybody can sort of change their path, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. So then when from Australia, then did you come back to the UK quickly?
Or? Yep. So I worked for 11M for one year. And then they couldn't sponsor me at the time because it was a small company. So I worked for a few companies, other companies in Australia offered to sponsor me, but at that time I really wanted to work for 11M, and so I came home. And then a few years later they sort of went through the visa process again to get, so I did get sponsored, and then the borders closed as I had my bag packed and but everything happens for a reason, and I'm very glad of it now, you know.
Awesome. And I have to ask, because I know you are huge into your fitness, and a big topic that we talk about, which I bang on about a lot because I didn't have it, is this like work-life balance. I want to drill down into your fitness and your passion, because when I set up Jobs for Women, I experienced burnout. I lived and worked in London, and I feel like my hobbies and my interests were really separate. It was kind of like you go to work and you do the work and you work every hour under the sun. And I feel like there's been a shift and a change. And I feel like it's so powerful when we bring the two together, because it's our values and what inspires us and drives us. So talk to us. I have to mention the word gladiators. I really want to ask you about that. Talk to me about your fitness, and then I want to delve into how you bring the two together. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
It's something that I'm so passionate about. Because if I take it, like if I go right back to the start when I moved to Australia, so I wasn't into fitness before I moved abroad. And I was very studious and had that mindset. It's work, work, work. You know, get A's. You know, I was a sort of straight A student, just very shy. Very, you know, when I was younger, I had selective mutism, and I just did not speak to anybody. In primary school, if anyone spoke to me, my nostrils would flare up and I would just panic. So I was really super shy when I was younger. And even through uni, I was, you know, much quieter than I am now, and very studious. And when I moved abroad, I was in Sydney, didn't know anyone. There was a CrossFit gym, and I thought, right, how do you make friends? Go join a gym. So I was posting on like Facebook, you know, social media, who wants to hang out. Went to this gym, found fitness, and that was transformative. It gave me so much confidence that, okay, I'm, you know, abroad, I don't know anyone, I'm making friends, I've got a new career, maybe, you know, that totally gives you so much confidence. And then when I came back, was super, super into fitness. And I think it's a confidence thing, you know, like if you're, you know, in a good environment, sort of grinding through a workout, and as you walk away from that, you know, you're standing tall, your shoulders are back, and you just, it enables you to sort of seize the day so much more powerfully, I guess. And now I sort of balance when I'm working at PwC. I also coach at two gyms. So I coach next week I'm coaching sort of at 6 a.m. every morning, and then I'm buzzing to go to work because it's just CrossFit Edinburgh. I've just recently moved to Edinburgh. So again, this is me moving to a new environment. It's not quite the other side of the world, but I'm moving to Glasgow to Edinburgh. And I thought, how can I create the same environment I've got in Glasgow? I'll just apply to work at a gym. So I sent CrossFit Edinburgh a message to say I'm moving through. You know, I don't know anybody here. I'm trying to create the same environment to move. And they gave me a trial. I went in, it was very intense actually. The guy sat and watched me coach and wrote a report on sort of coaching qualities like your authority, your energy, and scored me out of 10. And it was quite intense, but I guess, you know, putting yourself out of your comfort zone like that, you get a real buzz and confidence from it. And if I've started the day like that, the day just goes so much better.
Oh, I hear you. And the more work I do on, you know, like listening to coaches and the whole 5 a.m. club, even though to some people taking a class, like leading a class at 6 a.m. and going into a busy job in cybersecurity, they might think, oh, no, that sounds awful. But I can feel since getting up earlier, trying to do that, and then the endorphins from the exercise, you can see how it literally sets you up for the day ahead. You feel so empowered, don't you?
Totally. Do you coach yoga, don't you?
Yes.
So it is definitely, but even not, you know, obviously it's not feasible for people to go and coach, but even just going to a class. So if I've got the sort of accountability, if I sort of meet my friend that's also a coach at Fly to go to a class at 6 a.m. It's transformative how you start the day, because things that might seem very, very challenging at PwC, like that would typically have stressed me out before, you think, oh, it's not that bad, you'll get through it because you're happy and you're like, you know, you feel good about yourself, you've already looked after yourself, so you can kind of detach from it a wee bit more. Obviously, you're still very passionately caring about the outcome. But if you've not looked after yourself yet, it's very stressful and it affects the rest of your day.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And I really want to delve into it more on this podcast, because I think that we talk about work-life balance a lot, but I think it's so important that we have other elements in our life that we can bring into work, because everything you've just described, it's like having that accountability to get out of bed, to lead and you know, get everyone going at 6 a.m. Like, these are skills that you can take back into the workplace. These are skills that are gonna help your career thrive. So there's so much that I think people listening will be like, okay, right, I'm gonna get out of bed at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
It's definitely, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I can bounce out of bed, because I can't. Like, just yesterday morning, the alarm went off and I slept through it twice. But I've got a friend that's ringing me going, get up. So it's but that's the whole environment thing. Like, when I started the sort of gym environment, it's when I met people that changed my life, just being around a different sort of person, that was very transformative. So no matter how much I love it, I still can't get up all the time, but it's having that accountability and sort of that group of people that sort of really hold you to high standards.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love that how real you are. Like, you know, I sleep through my alarm. I did this morning as well. We are human at the end of the day. Now, talk to me about Gladiators. I'm assuming because you're amazing at fitness and you are invested and passionate, how did it come about? Talk to us.
I had a client actually, Barry. He's fantastic. So he joined my little frequency group that we do sort of mindset and fitness. And he said, you'd be amazing for this. If you don't apply, I'll apply for you. So I started filling out the application form, but I didn't complete it. I just thought, no, it's too long. And then I got a call from the BBC saying, we want to have you down for a sort of trial fitness day. So there's lots of different fitness tests And I got through that. And then they said, do you want to come down and sort of do the 2 weeks training with the gladiator? Like, we had our gladiator trainers, it was fantastic. It was a great experience. So I was the standby on it. So was only on the show if someone got injured. But, you know, it was still a fantastic experience to make it through that many applications. And quite frustrating though, because it's the third year I've been a reserve. So for the last 2 years in a row, I was the standby for SAS Who Dares Wins.
Wow.
Which I really wanted to do. I wanted to do that a lot more than gladiators, because it's a real test of sort of your mindset and resilience. And I was very close to that. They sort of send me out the boots and the kit and fit to fly test. Like, I really thought I was going on it, but it didn't. But, you know, so I was gutted, but then I didn't want to sort of sit on it too long. So, you know, it's good to turn that into an opportunity. And that's when I asked for the job at Fly, because I was wanted to use that sort of energy that I really wanted to do something. It didn't turn out the way I wanted, so, you know, I chose to do something else that was out of my comfort zone. And that's when I started coaching.
Wow. Do you know, you come across as someone that is really passionate about fitness, but also, yeah, really resilient. Like, you keep going, and the very fact that you've been reserve for those two different shows. I mean, can we just have a moment just to applaud getting through, because the audition process must be like crazy. And we need to just put it out to the universe that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe it. You believe it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. And even if it doesn't happen, like, the opportunities that, like, I wouldn't have changed any of that, because didn't get into SAS, but then I used the kind of gutted energy to get a job at Fly. I just walked in and I said, I've had a crap day. Can I have a job? So that, and that's changed my life. And then when I didn't get into Gladiators, you know, I was in a hotel for 2 weeks that they put me up to sort of, and I couldn't do anything else, so I went on Hinge, and now I found my life partner. So and I wouldn't have found my life partner if I didn't have to sit in that hotel room with nothing to do but be on Hinge. So
oh my gosh. I mean, I think you need to write a book. We need to do something with this. The stories are endless. You have so many layers to you. This is what I love. And for anyone listening that's kind of like, I don't know, married to their job, doesn't think that they can maybe pursue a hobby they used to do when they were younger, I don't know, netball, running, whatever it is, what advice would you give to someone listening that's maybe in a bit of a work rut, so to speak?
I think I still find myself in work ruts sometimes if I don't catch myself with, you know, if I'm very busy with proposals or anything like that. Like, I do have a mindset where I will sit until 4 a.m. in the office and get it done. And but a couple of days like that, and you're deflated, you've got no energy to give anyone, and actually the quality of your work is not good. You've got no creativity, you're not passionate about it. Like, so actually you're sitting there for, you know, 12-hour stint thinking you're working hard, but you're not, because you're not sort of feeling that sort of passionate, you know, I've got so much to give energy. So I still find myself sometimes doing that for a couple of days and thinking, right, catch yourself here. Like, this is, you know, it's not quality. You're just, so then I'll bring that back, sort of say, right, okay, no, give more time to yourself. Then I'll train again. And, you know, the next day you're doing this, what you've done in 12 hours, you're doing it in 6 hours. So it's much more efficient actually to just prioritize yourself and look after yourself first. And it's better for everyone around you, and it's better for your job.
That is absolute. That's like the soundbite of the interview, I think. Like, I loved what you said about catching yourself. This is what I teach in yoga. It's kind of like, how can we be really present and actually notice what is happening? And I listened to a podcast recently, or it was a coach, I can't remember, who talks about how efficient we are, especially the creative part of our brain, in those early hours. And if you're doing a 12-hour stint, your output is just becoming less and less. There's no point. It defeats the object.
100%.
That's brilliant advice. So anyone listening that's thinking, I need to get back to the gym or do something for you, it does not have to be gym. Mm-hmm. I think I was talking about someone going back to horse riding earlier. I'm like, whatever sets your soul on fire, find it, and don't let work command. And then you'd just be even more amazing at your job.
Yeah.
while I've got you here, we need to talk a little bit about tech. So we know that there's a big movement on getting women into tech. The recent PwC report said that 27% of female students said they would consider a career in tech compared to 61% of males. Only 3% say it's their first choice. Have you got any thoughts on, obviously you've shared your story about how you ended up in cybersecurity. Any tips on how we're going to get more women in, how we're going to encourage or make sure the culture is supportive of women? Have you got anything to share on that?
I mean, yes, absolutely. I think it's getting over the poster syndrome. I remember the first sort of assessment, I guess, I had to do at PwC. It was very much out of my comfort zone because I was a female and I walked into a room and there was sort of 10 men in suits round a table waiting for me to speak. I just had a surge of, give me a sec, I need to go to the loo, right? And this was like my first year at PwC. And I went into the bathroom and I still didn't, you know, was finding my feet, finding my confidence. And I remember ringing my mum in the bathroom saying, how am I going to manage this? Because you do kind of feel that sort of imposter syndrome as a, are they going to take me seriously? It's a group of sort of, you know, intelligent men, and if you're immersed in it and you do one, that gives you confidence, and then all of a sudden you stand out because you're different. And especially in cybersecurity or tech areas, I think, you know, you've really found a gold mine, and if you can understand technical subjects and you also have a personality and you've EQ as well, which can do immense wonders for your career. I'm very lucky at PwC because people seem to have both. They seem to have personality and cyber skills, but I think a lot of the time you're dealing with clients who's a very sort of techie cyber team, and you know, sometimes they can't even look you in the eye, but that does wonders for your career because you can do both.
Yeah,
so I think it's a fantastic opportunity, actually, and more of an opportunity than, you know, other areas where maybe you don't have that sort of challenge, where maybe if you're in, I don't know, business, where there's loads of women who have sort of big, you know, bubbly personalities, and you're not as stand out. My honest advice is
That's brilliant advice, though. It's almost like turning it into an opportunity instead of the fear. But I can relate to your anecdote just about the boardroom, and I love that you rung your mum. That is me. I'd be like, hey, mama.
Mom, I'm approaching 30, I'm approaching 48, but I need your advice.
It's always okay to ring a parent in that situation, or anyone that's close to you. I think people listening will be able to relate to that. We've all had those moments. And what I'm hearing you say as well is, it's like the first experience of that, you kind of go, what can I deal with this? But once you've done it once, it's like breaking down those barriers and then finding that inner strength that you can do it. So for anyone sort of listening, if this is being shared with like younger generations, don't be scared. Like, don't be scared if you're listening and you're thinking about tech. And I think the more movement we see, this ripple effect of having conversations like this, the more we're going to see more women and we're going to make it more accessible, which is just brilliant. Also, I interviewed a woman who works for the BBC, who's a product manager in tech, and her job sounded so cool. I was like, can I have your job? And she was like, because it was so cool. And she was like, I never thought I'd work in tech. And it was, I think when we have the conversations, we make other people know that you don't have to be really techie and that there are so many transferable skills. So what about day-to-day cybersecurity? I should know a lot about it. I don't. Talk to me as though I know nothing. What is it?
So cybersecurity team, we've got a million different, you know, teams within cyber. I sit under Richard for the human risk team, which I'm really, you know, I really enjoy that because there's a human element in there. It's about, you know, the team psychology even. So I'm really, you know, passionate about that. but there's lots of more technical roles like ethical hacking, sort of, you know, being the good guy and hacking in and sort of telling the businesses how the bad guy can hack them. There's so many different, you know, I'm still getting my head around all the cyber roles. There's instant response, like how a sort of company can come back from an incident where maybe their name's all over the news because they've lost personal data, card details. Like, I remember the Ashley Madison hack. It was like an app where people would go on to have affairs and they leaked everyone's data. That's all over the internet. So it's, you know, and it's that would require an incident response team. Just like you've got sort of teams that can go in red teaming and try and break into a bank to see their vulnerabilities, and there's loads of different exciting domains you can go into in cyber. I'm really enjoying the human part, sort of looking at a business's strategy, determining whether the teams they've got, their skill sets sort of align with their resilience strategy, what they're trying to achieve in the next 5 years. So we've been doing skills assessments and things. So really something I'm really passionate about is people's progression. And that's really just fits so well with that.
That's awesome. And I think we talk a lot about breaking down barriers. And when you see the word cyber or cybersecurity, you might think, oh, you know, like, I don't know what it is. But when you talk like that about all the different roles, the opportunities, that straight away, my mind goes to endless opportunities for incredible women that perhaps aren't even in that area that could even transfer. It's kind of, I love that.
100%. And, you know, 5 years ago, seven years ago, maybe when I got into cyber, it was very new and booming, and there wasn't so many frameworks around it, or, you know, even qualifications were, working in sort of the L&D team, learning and development, and PwC, there's loads of opportunities to put some sort of frameworks around this stuff. There's definitely skills gaps with the boom of sort of artificial intelligence. There's cyber's going to be everywhere, because the more sort of we start using tech for everything, there'll be robots that take over jobs and stuff. And think of the security risks, and, you know, Internet of Things, like everything in your house is connected to the internet. There's people that can hack into baby cameras, and it's just like, it's just endless opportunity, endless. So it's a fantastic, exciting, you know, your job's pretty safe because you need to know how to secure all of this tech that's taken off. Artificial intelligence is going to be just, yeah, massive.
It's an exciting area to work in, and just keep doing what you're doing and keep with the fitness. And I can't wait to, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say watch you on Gladiators next year, but I'm putting it out into the universe that it's going to happen. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your story. I think it's great just to meet incredibly inspiring women that are just smashing it. If people want to connect with you, is LinkedIn a good place? Where can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. If you tag me in LinkedIn, if you're posting this, then that would be, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. The whole turning fear into your power, like, it's a concept I like to use all the time. If you're scared, it's a good thing because you're growing. You don't want to be too comfortable.
We are always learning, aren't we? Thank you so much, Robin. You were such a pleasure to have on today.
Thank you so much, Zoe.
What a fabulous conversation with Robin. I really hope you enjoyed it. And I just want to touch on a few of the things that Robin talked about to help you wherever you're at in your career or your life. I love that Robin showed that it's possible to transition into a job in cybersecurity, even with a non-technical degree or even a non-technical background. Robin did chemical engineering, and her passionness and willingness to learn new skills just helped to open those doors, which is just testament to her, I guess, attitude to learning, willingness to try new things. And I think it might inspire many of our listeners to think, you know what, I can do that too. Also, I just want to talk about
mentorship. I am a massive, massive fan of having a mentor. And I think no matter what career you're in, where you're at in your career, finding and having a mentor who will support your growth and connect you to opportunities like Robin's mentor did, it can help whether you're looking to transition in your career or whether to step up, whether to go for a promotion. Maybe have a little think about how a mentor could help you. And then I have to talk about hobbies and interests. I know that in my early career, like I said in the podcast, I felt like mine was really separate. And I think Robin might have inspired you to pursue those hobbies and to do, you know, to enjoy your interests, whether it's fitness or another interest, to help you provide, to help give you balance. And, you know, it might be something that gives you or builds your confidence, whether that's personally and professionally. And Robin's involvement in CrossFit helped her make friends, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't need to be separate to work. And I love that. And I'm here for that. More of that, please. I love that Robin talks about taking risks by moving abroad, changing jobs. It led to an unexpected career path in cybersecurity. And I love it when people come on the pod and share their unique stories, because I think it just sometimes inspires others. I think it's great just to talk about your experiences. And I think what's really important is that our career trajectory doesn't need to be linear. We don't need to go to uni and do a particular degree and work in that area. You know, things shift and change, and I think the world is changing, and it's exciting to see what's out there. And I think the world of cybersecurity is vast. So if you do have an interest, connect with Robin, ask questions. If you do connect with her, let her know you found her through this podcast. And that is it. I really hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to join us over in the members area. It's completely free. All of our podcast content is in there. We've got free masterclasses, free training, free yoga. Head over to community.jobsforwomen.co.uk/join, and I will see you in there. That's it for another week. Take care of yourselves. If you haven't subscribed and followed the Women Work Wellbeing podcast, I would be so grateful if you could do that now and drop us a review. I was going to say 5-star. Did I say 5-star? Yes, I did. Drop us a 5-star review, and it just helps us reach others. It helps other people find us, and it helps us just grow the community, and we're here for that. So thank you so much. I appreciate each and every one of you. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you next week.